although almost all countries prohibit torture, in practice torture proliferates because the safeguards are not observed, and there's a culture of impunity and a culture of getting results through confessions, and that breeds torture all the time. So what I'm suggesting is that we come up with the best practices of solving crime that almost invariably do not include torture and that are based on a completely different model of what a criminal investigation should be.
Don't you think it's a very difficult task to change the mindset or the perception of law enforcement officials who think that torture is necessary?
No, I don't think it's that difficult, because I think, especially if we engage really professional investigators, and we put them in touch with their peers or their colleagues in other countries, they can demonstrate that you obtain much better results in fighting crime through a rapport-based interview rather than a confession-driven interview. And that it would be a model based on the presumption of innocence, de facto and de jure, instead of, just pour la galerie, and also on the real objective of criminal investigation, which is to arrive at the truth, not to arrive at confession, but to arrive at the truth. And so what I'm proposing is a very broad discussion that brings together the best experts and the states and comes up with a document that can be the model of how questioning and interviewing should be conducted.
How quickly can an investigative interviewing turn into torture? What normally instigates it?
I think the pressure to get results, the idea that, I'm here to solve this crime, so, I tell my superior I already nailed it and I get it because I made somebody confess. And that's why we get a lot of wrongful convictions, including confessions of people who did not commit the crime. And that's the kind of risk that we have. But it's not only that we punish the innocent. It's also that we let the criminals, the real criminals, go away, and we disperse the efforts of the criminal investigation, because people tell you whatever you want to hear, so that you'll stop torturing them, and then you go following leads that are completely false.
Now, this is a very widespread problem, and you did many visits to many countries. Is there a specific area or region that has grabbed your attention the most, because the situation there is much worse than others?
Countries are not easy to compare with each other, and I never try. But I do want to say that in some countries I found goodwill to try to solve problems. In some countries I actually found progress before I even got there. Like Georgia, for example, I just happened to go at a time when they had done a lot of very good work around torture. And then there are countries that had very serious problems of unaccountability of law enforcement and even of the military, like Mexico and Brazil, that had very serious problems with torture. And although some institutions of the state wanted to do the right thing about it, they were facing enormous challenges.
Now, you're reaching the end of your term. What do you think the UN can do differently to tackle this problem?
Well, I think the UN has to tackle this question of the crisis of cooperation that I mentioned, that the UN can put pressure on states to be more cooperative with all the special procedures, not just mine, and to get invitations and in terms that we can accept, that don't make a mockery of the country visit. But I also think that it's important to streamline the special procedures, to organize them better so that there's less overlap and more cooperation. In the area of torture, we do have very good cooperation, but it's a narrow area, and it's easier to cooperate. But when the special procedures deal with all kinds of different rights and issues, it's a lot harder to get cooperation. And I think the Office of the High Commissioner tries, but it would be important for the Human Rights Council to organize the special procedures better and to give us more resources, because we're really strapped for resources.
Anything else you think our listeners on UN Radio need to know about torture in criminal justice system?
We have a very serious challenge with torture. It's not only that torture is practiced extensively in different parts of the world, but also that we have the populations of many parts of the world kind of conditioned to accept it instead of reject it. And although when one sees what torture does to a person, it's easy to sympathize and to say enough is enough, we actually prefer to look the other way and let torture happen, because supposedly it makes us safe, it protects us from crime, etc. And what we need to demonstrate is that that's a very vicious circle, that the more that we look the other way, the more that we get unaccountable police and law enforcement bodies, and the more unsafe we become.
Thank you, Mr. Mendes.
Thank you.